Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please, again in Luke chapter 2 in your Bible. And look at those first few verses in Luke chapter 2. As I read this hymn, I was challenged with the words and the contrast we find in that the stanzas of this. Christ left his throne in heaven, but found no room here on earth. Luke chapter 2, and starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray together. Lord, I pray as we look at your word today that you'd use it to touch our hearts and challenge us. Lord, I pray this morning if there's someone here who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, Lord, that there'd be room in their heart for Jesus Christ today. And Lord, for us who are saved, we're so busy about this Christmas season, Lord, I pray indeed that there would not just be room in our lives for Jesus Christ, but he might be central to our lives. That we wouldn't get caught up in all the distraction and busyness and sometimes problems and difficulties that this Christmas season brings upon us every year. And Lord, that it would be a year that you are honored and glorified in our lives. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. A lady was busy about her shopping just before Christmas, a couple days before. She'd been to the mall and the crowds were terrible. I heard on the radio on Friday that she didn't even want to try to get near Stavanger up there. They were just blocked right up. Shopping was busy, the clerks were rude. She didn't have the money that she needed to pay for all the gifts that she needed to buy. And she was rushing to get in the elevator in a department store to get back down to get to her car, and she just had it. She got there, the doors were almost closed. She stuck her arm in and the doors opened back up, and she got in and stood facing the doors, and she said, "I don't know who started this whole mess, but I wish they'd just kill him." From the back of an elevator, a voice came, "Ma'am, they did." It's hard for us to comprehend Jesus Christ leaving his throne of glory for a stable in Bethlehem. This hymn was written by Emily Elliott. She came from a family of hymn writers. Her aunt, Charlotte Elliott, wrote "Just As I Am." But as she was reading through Luke chapter 2, she was taken with this statement at the end of verse 7, "because there was no room for them in the inn." She'd worked in England in rescue missions and Sunday schools, and she wrote this text for the choir and for a school children at her father's church. It was written for the purpose of teaching children the truths of the Christmas season. Such a vivid contrast. If you still have your hymn books there, we see in the first part of verse 1, "You left your throne." But down in the second line, "But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room." The first part of verse 2, "Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang." But of lowly birth did thou come to earth. Verse 3, thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. The last stanza, of course, is a triumphant anthem that finishes this chorus, this song. But I want us to understand tonight, or this morning, the contrasts of Christmas. The contrasts of Christmas. The Christmas season, we focus, and we should, on Bethlehem and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph, the angelic hosts. But I want us to consider what a difference this made in the life of Christ. The hymn begins, "Thou didst leave thy throne." Think of what it was like in heaven before the birth of Christ. Ezekiel chapter 1 speaks somewhat of the throne of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 26 says, "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber and the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of the loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as were the appearance of fire and the brightness round about it." The book of Psalms says a great deal about the throne of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Psalm 9 verse 4 says, "Thou settest in the throne judging right." Psalm 11 verse 4, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." Psalm 45 verse 6, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." Psalm 47 verse 8, "God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." Psalm 93 and verse 2, "Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting." The throne of heaven. We look back through the pages of Scripture and we see in Isaiah chapter 6, "In the year this King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above us stood the seraphim, each one having six wings. With twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And they sang, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." The throne of glory. That had been the dwelling place of Jesus Christ for eternity past. There had been no time, even as Christ was the creator of all that exists in six literal 24-hour days. He occupied his throne of glory. By the way, that's where he is right now. Because the Father saw, Psalm 110 verse 1, the Father said, David said, "The Lord said to my Lord, set thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Seated there, the Bible says, ever living to make intercession for us. He's seated there in a place of position, a place of power, a place of honor, next to his Heavenly Father. We know that the throne of Jesus Christ plays a great part in future events. We know that one day all of us as Christians will stand before what we call the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema bench. We'll stand there to receive rewards for things done in the flesh. I've heard it preached sometimes about getting punished at the judgment seat of Christ, but that's not what it's all about. Because remember, all of our sins were paid for at the cross. We get to heaven, there'll be no sins brought up to us in heaven. Because remember, the song says Jesus paid it all. But there we will receive rewards. Some will receive more rewards and some will receive less. We're going to be surprised about a lot of things in heaven. I think one of the things we'll be surprised about is who gets rewards. And who gets how many. And who gets maybe just a few. But we'll be rewarded, and we'll have the privilege of taking those rewards we have and putting them at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he sits there on his throne. But then there's another terrible throne, the great white throne. I use the word like we use it terrible in Sunday school. A place when the dead, small and great, stand before the God. The seas give up the dead. The earth gives up the dead. Everyone who has died without Jesus Christ will stand before that great white throne. They'll stand there one by one, and we understand that at this point, time has no meaning in heaven. But one by one, they'll stand before God. And one by one, they'll be asked really just one question. What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? They won't ask, what church did you attend, or did you live a good life? And one by one, the Bible says, they'll be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity because they rejected Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of glory. In communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit, contemplating the creation of the world, the creation of mankind, understanding that as they thought about that, understanding that mankind would sin, understanding that they would reject that perfect place that God created for them. And someone would have to pay the price. There was none amongst the angelic host that could. As they looked down through the halls of time and saw humanity, there was none in the realms of humanity that could pay the price. It was only Jesus Christ who could pay that price. And he created the world knowing that one day, in the fullness of time, he would leave his throne of glory and come to earth. Not with so much the thought we think of this time as the joyous angelic hosts and the adoration of the wise men from the east and the shepherds coming, but knowing that this was the first step to the cross. Yes, Christ left his throne, came to a place where there was no room, because there was no room for them in the inn. There certainly, down through the years, has been many Christmas programs and plays written about the innkeeper who had no room. Don't be too hard on the innkeeper, okay? He was doing the best he could. There was no place in Bethlehem. I said a small village, maybe 700 people. All of those who were of the lineage of David had come back to be registered for the census. Some stayed in houses and families, some stayed in inns, some, I'm sure, camped out, and there literally was no room for them. Jesus Christ left the halls of heaven, left the throne of glory, to be born as a little baby in a stable. But he not only left the throne, but we know that he left the adoration of heaven to obscurity here on earth. He left the adoration of heaven to obscurity here on earth. If we go over to the book of Revelation, we find that there are angels that are before the throne of God that are constantly praising God over and over and over. It's like the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6. They cried, "Holy, holy, holy." That was their song, and they never tired of that song. God never tired of hearing their adoration. By the way, God doesn't tire of hearing our adoration of Him, of thanking Him and praising Him. We heard this morning about thanking God for answer to prayer for Murray. I had an answer to prayer this week. Have you had an answer to prayer this week? You know, we say there are big answers to prayer and small answers to prayer. To me, they're all big. My truck was broken. Did your truck ever break? It's sad when your truck breaks. My windshield washer didn't work. It's bad this time of year when your windshield washer doesn't work. I found out what the problem was, and just a little part on the little pump thing on the tank, and I went to the local auto parts store. And I said, I need this. They said, yeah, we carry it, but we don't have any. But it'll be coming in 3 days or a week. It's on order. I hate those two words, on order. And I had a time getting it all, and so I put my hands on the counter, and I'm just kind of looking down like this. And I had a quick prayer meeting. I said, Lord, I really need this part. I don't know any other store here in town, and I just can't chase all. And I look up, and the guy's gone. He comes back. He says, look what I found on the shelf. The exact part that I needed. Only it wasn't in stock, but it was there. The Lord answers prayer. Nothing is too little for God. Nothing is too big for God. Because God loves, and God loves it when we tell others about His goodness to us. God loves it when we praise Him. Christ is the focus of all praise. We read in Isaiah 6, the angels, verse 3, and one cried unto another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post, the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Christ, the center of adoration in eternity past. I'm not sure when the angels were created. Sometimes theologians tell us before the creation of the world, and I believe that. But the angels, from the time of their creation, cease not to adore and praise Jesus Christ. But think what happened when He came to earth. He came to earth and, of course, was born in Bethlehem. But not long after that, because of the threat of Herod to kill Him, Joseph and Mary and Jesus were forced to flee to Egypt. Exiled from the very people He came to redeem. He returned back and came back to Bethlehem and then up to Nazareth and lived in Nazareth in obscurity. Luke 9:58, in His ministry, Jesus said to them, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. There are many that day that thought, well, you know what, I'll follow Jesus because He's the Messiah, He's the King, He's going to have a palace, I'm going to rule with Him. And then Jesus said, you know what, I don't even have a house. I don't have a bed. He lived in obscurity. Nathanael, of course, who later gets saved, in John 1:46 says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? From the perspective of Jerusalem, Nazareth was a backwater. Nazareth was a place that was in obscurity in the north there on the Sea of Galilee. They were country folk, fishermen. They were not educated. They were not scholars in Nazareth. Also in John chapter 8, the Pharisees, when confronted by them, Jesus said, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, remember this is the Pharisees, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. The rumor of Jesus' birth was cast in his face. They said, Jesus, you know, we know that Mary was pregnant before Joseph married her. We know the word we use, you're illegitimate. We be not born of fornication. He lived in obscurity and reproach. But he brought freedom to those who would trust in him. Christ came to set us free from the power, the penalty, and the presence of sin. He suffered a great penalty. Isaiah 61, verse 1, this is the scripture that Christ read as he began his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He said, I come to set people at liberty. But in order to set us at liberty, Christ was bound. In order to set us at liberty, Christ paid a penalty. Again, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? In Isaiah 53, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Then the tone kind of changes a little bit. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ left the adoration of heaven that he might come to earth, that he might be arrested there in the garden, that he might be taken bound to the Jewish authorities, from there to Pilate and his authorities, back to the Jews, and bounced back and forth as they prepared, and then taken again, bound to the cross, where he was nailed to that cross to pay for our sins. You know, while Bethlehem had no room for Christ, Christ has room for all. I love the word whosoever. Whosoever. We find it over and over in Scripture. Whosoever. Romans 10:13, a verse you've heard many times. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's room at the cross for you. John 13, verse 15, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. There's room at the cross. Acts 2:21, it says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 12:46, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. There's room at the cross. I wonder, do we have room for Jesus Christ today? You know, the baby in the manger sat on a throne of glory in eternity past. Christ was adored and the focus of angelic attention in heaven, but here he was despised and rejected of men. Well, here on earth today, this Christmas season, just days before the day we celebrate the birth of Christ, as we look across, it seems there is no room for Jesus Christ. Even in this last week, there have been court cases heard in Canada, the United States, about whether Jesus Christ should have room in the lives, room in the marketplace, room in our schools, in our government offices. And most often, it's sad to say, the courts rule against him. As you listen, people over and over, that's the real meaning of Christmas, that we have friends. That's the real meaning of Christmas, that we love one another. That's the real meaning of Christmas. No, the real meaning of Christmas is there's room at the cross for you. The real meaning of Christmas is Jesus Christ came to earth, the Messiah. He came to live 33 and a half years, that the world might know that indeed he is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, co-equal with God the Father, and that he might bear that awful sin penalty for all men, for all time. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. You know, the angels praise and worship God in heaven because they love to. God doesn't force anyone to be saved. God doesn't force our praise or our adoration. God doesn't demand of us. But God calls on us who call ourselves by the name of Christ, call ourselves Christians, to bring to him some of the praise and adoration that the angelic hosts bring you on a regular basis. You know, I wonder, as Christians this morning, in this last week, as we look at our lives, have we been just a little too busy? Have our lives been bringing praise and adoration to Jesus Christ as we go about? And there's nothing wrong with going about the business of, if you will, of Christmas and planning for family and friends and all those things. But what a sad thing when there's no room in our plans for Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not saved, in a moment we're going to sing an invitation hymn, "There's Room at the Cross for You." There's room. Although millions and millions have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior down through the centuries, there's still room for you. There's still room for you. Let's pray together.